Proverbs 4 and verse 18. A beautiful verse. And I love it the more I read it. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Are you ready? Are you ready, brother? Brothers and sisters, are you ready? We're on that path and we're marching to Zion. We're looking forward to that great and wondrous day when we see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it could be today, I believe. Some people say they're waiting for other things to happen, but brothers and sisters, I'm looking today for His return. My daddy has got Alzheimer's. And Sunday morning, I've told some of you this, as I was leading him into the church house, and as he was stepping over the threshold, he says, "This may be my last time." And it's true, brethren. We don't know when that day is going to call us, when he's going to call us home. But it's wonderful to know that we're going home to be with Him.
Amen.
One day soon.
Amen.
And I believe as I see the signs of the times around me, as I hear people talk, as I hear news broadcasts and all that, listen, brethren, we don't have much time. I believe our Lord is coming near,
Amen.
Coming soon.
Amen.
But that path of the just is as the shining light. The shining light. Who is that shining light? Listen, brethren, my Lord is that shining light.
Amen.
And He's coming soon.
Amen.
And I'm going to say that quite a few times, but as we look in God's Word, we can see about the light that He's speaking of. Isaiah 9 and 2 says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." And I walked in darkness, and now I see that light. And I'm walking that path by His grace, His amazing grace. And one day, as we continue to march on that road, on that path, it just gets brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. And we have the security, the perseverance that He has given within our hearts, the preservation that we have in Him, that it's going to get brighter and brighter the closer it comes. Oh, brethren, I'm looking forward to that day. John 1:4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." John 8:12 says, "And then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
Amen.
There's been many scriptures used during this message that just thrilled my heart, but some that I have read recently and studied recently that just draw me closer and closer to Him.
Yeah.
And why is it that we can see that light getting brighter and brighter? Because in Philippians 2:13, the Word of the Lord says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And the more obedient we are as His children, the more bright the light. I'll tell you what, the most miserable person there is upon the face of the earth is a person that's walking outside of where he should be.
Amen.
Now I think of my own children. They were taught the truth. They're raised in a Christian home. They know better. But they're walking not in the light as they ought to be.
Amen.
Grieves my heart.
Amen.
Because it causes me to weep when I see people who have been, we say, saved. They've made a profession of faith, at least. We've taught them, thought we had, to observe the all things. We led them down the path of light. And there was a Y in the road. And they took the wrong way.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Or they're walking in that wrong way. And our prayers go out, God, be merciful to them.
Amen.
Bring them back.
Amen.
If they're not saved, oh God, reach down and save them by thy grace. God help us. God help us. Acts 15. I can't see, but Acts 13, I think it is. Acts 13, 47. Acts 13. And verse 47 says, "For so saith the Lord, commanding us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth." Listen, brethren, whether it be on the foreign field or it be here in the United States of America, which is becoming a foreign field,
Amen.
The gospel needs to be preached.
Amen.
The light needs to be shed. It has to be shown. I'll tell you what. I, living in Honduras, in the first part of my ministry down there, we lived in an area called Balfate, Colon. And it was right along the Caribbean. And preaching in Rio Esteban and Balfate, I can remember many times because there was no lights there in the beginning. And we had to have a little generator to produce electricity in the village. And many nights we had to spend the night there because of various reasons, whether it be preaching or weather. And walking out of the church building after shutting the light plant off, I would say, you know, it's dark here. You, brethren, could not see your hand in front of your face. And brethren, that village, spiritually speaking, was as dark. But by God's amazing grace, there's light there now.
Amen. Praise God.
There's light
Amen.
There.
Amen.
We decided that we needed to go back to some of these missions and churches now and be with them and visit with them and encourage them. And a few months back, we were in Rio Esteban for the first time on Sunday morning for I don't know how many years. And I sat in the men's class to listen to the pastor, which is needed. Brethren, the men's class had 35 to 45 men. I didn't count them, but about that, the whole place was full of men.
Amen.
Husbands of families. And they were just on the edge of their seat listening to Brother Lisandro. I observed. In that dark place, there's light.
Amen.
Like God's amazing grace.
Amen.
And they're preserved in Him.
Amen.
One time I went back to Seattle, Washington, visiting Sylvia's uncle, who's a Baptist, a GLBC Baptist, but I'd come back to the United States at that time, and he says, "Ted, what happened to those works when you left? Did they just disband or what?" I said, "No, by God's grace, the Lord raised up men to pastor those
Amen.
Works,
Amen.
And they are self-sufficient. By God's amazing grace."
Amen.
And it's not because of the instrument, but it's because of God implanting in them the same desire as you and us, all of us gringos have here in the United States, when God gets a hold of us.
Amen.
And produces the same light.
Amen.
The same light.
Amen.
And that's the same light that's shining more and more until the time that He returns to take us home. Not darkness, but in light. One of our brethren read this, I believe it was yesterday, in Genesis 32. And I'd like to turn there, please, in Genesis 32 and verse 10 and read a passage of Scripture. Genesis 32 and verse 10. For I am not worthy of the least of all His mercies, and of all the truth which Thou hast showed unto Thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now am become two bands. I'm not worthy of what God has done for me either.
Amen.
I was raised in a Christian home. Praise God for that. And I'm not the smartest person in the world, and I'll admit that. And I can something a little funny happened on my ordination day that I wasn't supposed to hear after they ordained me and it was approved. And I heard two preachers, and I'm not going to name who they were, but I heard two preachers say this. Well, we've ordained something worse. You know what that's for a young preacher? Who was it saying yesterday? Keep on, you'll make it. Keep on, you'll make it. Lord, help us. And then Jeremiah 6:16 was read, and I might be able to quote it in Spanish, but in English I won't be able to. In Jeremiah 6:16, about the pathway. And this is what we're speaking about this morning, is this pathway. Jeremiah 6:16 says this again. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and as for the old paths, brethren, many of you are instrumental in keeping me on the old path. I've listened to tapes from your conferences, those that have sent them to us. It helps, brethren. It helps. We enjoy that. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Brethren, if you have the true light, you will walk therein. You will walk therein.
Amen. Amen.
Now, my title, believe it or not, is on the perseverance of the saints. And those that will persevere are those that are looking at that light.
Amen.
That have that light implanted within.
Right.
We are saved one time, and I believe Hebrews says only one time. You can't be re-saved again. You're saved once and for eternity, for time and eternity, because of the One who made all of this possible for us. And as we look at Matthew 1 and 21, which has become a dear verse to me, knowing the doctrines of grace of God, it just makes it so clear.
Amen.
About our Lord and Savior. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he is trying to save his people from their sins. That's not what it says, is it?
Amen.
But there are many that teach it that way. They'll read it right, but teach it another way. But He's not trying to do anything. He's God.
Amen.
He's the eternal God.
Amen.
He is the sovereign God of the universe.
Amen.
He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything that we think and do. He knows when the sparrow falls to his death. He knows knows the count of every hair on our head. No comment. He shall save his people from their sins. Positive statement. And I know when I go and preach to people in Honduras that I don't have to do this. Wring my hands about where someone will come. I don't have to go down and twist arms because I know that He will take His Word home to hearts.
Amen.
He will quicken. He will make alive. He will cause people to repent and receive Him as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
I'm not a hard shell, I'm a missionary Baptist. I believe in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because He came for that purpose to save His people from their sins. And brother, I can't make a goat become a sheep. I was talking to a Baptist missionary down in Honduras, and one time he told me, he says, "Brother, I remember when I was a goat. Oh, I was horrible." And I said, "Brother, think about what you're saying. Think about what you're saying. You think a goat can ever become a sheep?" You got a point there. Brother, a goat can never become a sheep. Now, a goat can fake in the Lord's church to be a sheep. And I'll tell you, do nothing but. He'll show his colors, or she will. They'll be proven. And the main reason is because they don't see the light. They don't have the light. They don't want to obey the all things. They don't want to be taught the all things. And everything that is recommended to them, they refuse to accept, generally speaking. That's sad, but it's the way it is today. And has been for years. I'll tell you, time is ticking. And I'm not very political, but I see two parties that are becoming more and more the same color all day. You might get mad at me for saying that, but I'm seeing on the horizon a one world system being made. Whether you accept it or not, but I can see it's foggy yet, but it's there. Since when is Hillary Clinton become a Bible believer?
Yeah.
I mean, she's trying to convince the people that she is one of us. Now, I'm not going to say no more. You might want to vote for her, but that's your business. God will judge you, but that's your business.
Amen.
I might get slapped upside the head after. But anyway, God's people will endure the test of time. Because He has made us more than conquerors in this world which surrounds us. God is preparing His chosen people, and they are looking for His blessed return. They who have the hope of His return are purifying themselves and getting ready for that blessed and wonderful day. I don't want to be a hypocrite before God. I don't want to be an idolater before God. I want to be found faithful.
Amen.
Found faithful. And every man that hath this hope in him, what does he do? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do you have the light? Do you see that light that is shining more and more in our lives? A gradual sanctification, a goal that we have to be more like Him every day we live.
Amen.
Perseverance means enduring.
Amen.
Not giving up and seeing something through to the finish. If I had obeyed the EMT the other night getting off the airplane, I'd probably be in a hospital somewhere today. But I said, no, I've got to go to a Bible conference. You might say, well, that's foolishness. Well, I felt good. I didn't feel bad. But they said I was bad. But God be praised, here I am.
Amen.
Only by His grace. And I could stroke out right now on this podium. I don't know what's going to happen. But God has it all in control. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows. And I am to do what He commands me to do.
Amen.
And I had an appointment to keep. And by God's grace and His mercy, I'm here.
Amen.
I don't want to give up. Do you? This is a great fight we're in.
Amen.
One time I was in Clarksville called, told I was being contentious. Brethren, contending for the faith and being contentious is two different things.
Yeah, right.
I was contending for the faith.
Amen.
And I believe that's what we have to do until the
Amen.
End. No matter who we cross, no matter how many people we step on the toes, we must contend for the faith
Amen.
Which once delivered to the saints. Because it's a fight we're in. Paul said it was a fight. He said, I've finished the good fight. I have finished my course. Look with me in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And verse 23, please. 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Listen, if you believe any of the truth, it's because God has given it to you.
Amen.
And I'll be honest with you, there are things that you and I might not agree on. Jerry said that the other night about writing out all the things we believe. And there might be some differences. There might be some different opinions. But I believe the basis of what our fellowship is upon, we can walk in the light and we can have fellowship and God will receive us.
Amen. Amen.
What I believe God has taught me. The Holy Spirit has enlightened me to these things. I don't claim anything of my own. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night. I don't know if that's the right scripture or not. Just that first part was. I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's the reason. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 11. Forgive me, brethren. 11:23. Speaking of the Apostle Paul and him fighting his fight. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent, in death oft. And then he goes on and explains all the sufferings that he had upon this earth. He wasn't bragging. He was just stating the facts.
Yeah, right.
Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
Shall suffer persecution. Are we? The doctrine that I'm trying to get to deals with the nature of salvation. It is eternal and dependent upon what God has done for us. Not what we do for Him, but what God has done for us. Therefore, we love Him and He implanted within us the desire to do His will. Is that not true in your life?
Amen.
Perseverance of the saints is a continuous operation of the Holy Spirit in the believer by which the work of divine grace that is begun in the heart is brought to completion. We will arrive. We will be there one day.
Amen.
Now a quote from T.P. Simmons that I'd like to read on systematic study of Bible doctrines. The perseverance and preservation of the saved are twin Bible doctrines.
Amen.
God has joined them inseparably in His infallible Word. Some have erred in presenting the preservation or the safety and security of the saved as if it were independent of perseverance. Such a presentation tends to represent salvation as physical or mechanical. That's why a lot of people do not persevere.
Right.
Cannot persevere. Because they are responsible in their mind of their salvation. They are the ones that have done it. Country language, I guess. This tends to represent salvation as a physical or mechanical rather than a moral and a spiritual accomplishment. And that kind of thinking furnishes the Armenian with ammunition. It teaches only a half-truth. It is not calculated to make saints as considered as they ought to be about their walk.
Yeah.
Inspired writers taught that salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. But they also taught that God saves men not irrespective of their response to Him, but by requiring them to obey His will and working in them in such a way as to move their will in them as He fits them for His presence.
Amen.
It's all of God.
Amen.
Thus, He is glorified in them both in time and eternity. Thereby, grace is prevented from being a cloak of lasciviousness. And you know, there's some people today that despise the Church of the Living God because we teach this. You know, the majority of Protestants don't believe in eternal security. They believe in works for salvation, and we know that's not true. But you know, the Bible does require of us perseverance. And they take some scriptures, I've got 12 of them with me, scriptures that prove that we must persevere. And we as Christians who have seen the light, who see it shining more and more until that perfect day, are in Him.
Amen.
And we will obey His will.
Amen.
We will. And Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven."
Amen.
Matthew 10:22 says, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." And some always come up and say, "Well, I know someone that preached for 20 years, fell into sin, never came back. He lost his salvation." I'm sorry. He died that way. I'm sorry. Never had it.
Amen.
Never was
right.
One of the Lord's.
Amen.
John 8:31 says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." We who are walking that path and see that light are, will, and continue to see that light until that perfect day. It's shining brighter and brighter, brethren. Are you looking for that day?
Amen.
Are you joyous that you are included in that band of people elected by God's amazing grace?
Amen.
John 15 in part says, "Abide in me." Can you? Can you by yourself without His power abide in Him? No. You can't do it.
No.
But God.
Amen.
But God. John 15:9 says, "Continue ye in my love." Continue ye in my love. Do we? Why, yes. Yes, we do. If we're in Him and He in us.
Amen.
Acts 11:23, "Cleave unto the Lord." Grab hold of Him.
Amen.
Hold on tight.
Amen.
Hold on tight. Romans 11:19-22, just part of it says, "But toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness."
Amen.
Otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Oh, the Armenians love those verses. They take them out of context. In 1 Corinthians 15:2 says, ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you. Brother, my fear is for those who have gone away.
Amen.
Those that have gone away, my own family.
Amen.
Those who have gone away, are they? Will they see that light one day? I pray God will chasten them.
Amen.
I hope that they'll feel it one day.
Amen.
I was talking to Omar, big, tall, black man in Rio Steven, who had left the Lord's church and wasn't living a life pleasing to God, and was at a funeral. You might have remembered about the wall, the cement block. It's called a viga, but it's a runner of solid concrete that goes up and down that holds the walls together and the concrete block buildings down there. He was knocking it out, and his helper says, Juan, watch out! It's going to fall. He says, yeah, I know, I got it timed. He didn't have it timed, and that beam drove his head into the ground. Busted all his teeth, smattered his head. Left 9 kids. Some of you helped build his wife's place. It wasn't finished, and I praise God for that. And she's still a faithful member of the Lord's church. But anyway, we were at the funeral, and we were sitting on the porch of another member in front of the widow's house, and I said, have you felt the chastening hand of God upon you? I ain't felt nothing. You know I told that brother, I told him? I said, if you continue this way and never feel the chastening hand of God, the Bible says that you're a bastard and not a son. It's like I slapped him upside the head. He could whoop me up the street and down the street. But he respects me as a preacher of God. He took it. He repented. He came back. But sad to say, he's out again. Disciplined church member. I don't understand these things, brethren. But I know that if he is one of them, he's going to come back.
Amen.
Hebrews 5:9 says, he became the author of eternal salvation. Now listen, it says eternal salvation. And then it goes on and says, unto all them that obey him. Yes, there's obedience included in this scope of salvation. We must obey. We must follow. We will follow. In the last verses, Revelation 2 and 11 says, he that overcometh shall not be heard of a second death. Now listen, these 12 verses do not teach that a saved man can be lost, but that the saved man will persevere. That's what they're teaching. The lost man will not, because he does not have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in him. But God works in the saved to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Are you hungry? Stay with me.
Amen.
Stay with me. The food will stay.
Amen.
Those who cannot stick to the narrow way or don't want to will not be in the sheepfold. They won't be in there. The scriptures used by our opponents are taken out of context to supposedly prove falling from grace. But remember, brethren, no one will reach that final abode of God's saints except those who abide in Christ.
Amen.
Those that cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
Those that continue unto the end. Those that keep in memory the gospel and follow holiness and are overcomers.
Yes.
We believe this doctrine because it's an indisputable truth.
Amen.
In God's holy word.
Amen.
Now, on the other hand, there are grounds, scriptural grounds, for the doctrine of perseverance. And I love them all. My sheep. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. Oh, brother, I'm in His hands.
Amen.
And He says, I'll not fall out of His hands. Nothing can take me out of His hands. I'm in His love forever and ever.
Amen.
The height, the depth, the breadth can separate us from His love. John 14:21 says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. Oh, that's precious, brother. To know that we're loved of God. That we are included in His plan of redemption. That one day we'll live with Him for eternity. Hebrews 10:14 says, For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And our sanctification is not in us, but it's in Him.
Amen.
It's in Him. 1 John 2:17 says, And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Romans 6:14, For sin shall not... Shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under law, but under grace. Ephesians 1:4. Precious to me. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Brethren, we can ruin our testimony in one fraction of a second. We can be counted unfit as a gospel preacher. Just like that.
Right.
We must preserve ourselves. And that's one of the things I learned at my daddy's feet. I learned it in Clarksville, Tennessee. And I learned it at Lexington Baptist College. Preachers, watch yourself. Watch yourself.
Amen.
Watch yourself. Be careful. What kind of shepherd would our Lord be if He was to leave us in the wilderness to perish? But He won't.
Amen.
He won't. His promises are true and He will never leave us or forsake us because we are His forever and forever. And we can look at the entire book of John, 1 John, and you can see the precious preservation of God's saints there.
Amen.
You can know that you're born again.
Amen.
You can be assured of it without a shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
In 1 John, quickly now, there's an awareness of personal sinfulness that we can see. There's a desire to obey God. If you want the scriptures broken down, I'll give them to you later if you ask me. A love for God's people found there. A faith that lasts. An open ear to God's word. And a love for God. And a new attitude toward this world system. This is not my home. This is not my home, brethren. I'm just passing through. Just passing through. You know, there's a lot of... At my age, there's a lot of questions ahead of me. All of us feel those things. What if? What if? What if? As I was crunched over in that plane, grabbing my head in severe pain, my head between my knees, and I was just saying, Oh, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Lord, And I mean, you know how things go through your mind. I've got an aneurysm. I've got this. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to be with the Lord. You know, all these things pass through your mind instantaneously. And you think, well, that's an easy way out. If it go that way, I don't want Alzheimer's. I mean, I talk as a man. I speak as a man. I don't want to go through that. But God knows the reasons for all these things. Everything. And what happens when we sin, just to cap it off, and it's already been mentioned this morning, He chastens us. He chastens us. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you. He chastens us. And I pray that if I step out of His will,
Amen.
Then He'll give me a good one.
Amen.
I mean, you talk about one of, is He going to kill him? I mean, I've had that one. I went fishing one time in Seattle, Washington on Saturday, and that dad's study day because he worked full-time on a job, pastored church full-time, and Saturday morning and evening afternoon was his study day. And I said, Daddy, I'm going to go fishing. He says, you'll be back here by 12 o'clock noon. 2:30 is out in the swing. Just got back with my buddy Roger, and sitting there in a swing. Mama come out and he says, where have you been? I said, been fishing, Mama. You said you'd be back here at noon. I said, no, Mama. Where's Daddy? He's looking for you on the river. Boy, I just sat there and sweat. I just sat there and sweat for a while, you know. When he got home, he says, Teddy, come on in. And I knew I was in for it. My mama went outside and was talking to Roger. And he heard me inside, and I thought he was going to kill me. He was correcting me. I don't hold that against him. I deserved it, brother, because I was wrong. I took my daddy's study time away. His mind wasn't upon the Word of God. I was wrong. I had sinned against my daddy. My Heavenly Father, He loves me. And I pray, God, He'd do the same to me if I get out of His will. You pray for me. I don't know what's ahead of me. I have no idea. You've read my mission reports. You know that there's a little bit of weakness there right now. You pray for Ted Tweet. I covet your prayers. And I'm thankful for the light that I see at the end. Because I know He's coming soon.
Amen.
And it's getting brighter and brighter, brothers.
Amen.
We're going to see Him soon. Brother Jerry, come on.